I argue with the lenders, I'll argue with appraisers, I'll argue with everyone else, but with my clients, we are on the same team and we're going after the same goal. And so there's just some people that don't understand that.
This is the naked truth about real estate investing. Your host, Javier, has already been through all the brain damage of this business, so you don't have to go through it. That way, you're not exposed to all of the risk of losing your shirt or getting caught with your pants down. So let's dive into another No BS episode right now.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the show, The Naked Truth About Real Estate Investing. And today, I have Michael Coffey on the show. He is a lender, commercial broker, commercial mortgage specialist. I'm not even sure what the title is. Okay, I'm screwing this up most likely. But he's got a pretty cool platform on his services. So I'm just going to let him introduce himself to you guys. Go ahead, Michael. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, Javier, for having me. My name is Mike Coffey. I am a capital advisor for StackSource. We are a nationwide brokerage we're technically a fintech company. So we have an online platform that allows us to match up your commercial loan request with the best possible capital source out there. And that's a obviously very high-level view. We'll get into more details later. But I've been in the commercial lending field now for 20-plus years. I've worked in the back office structuring and documenting files for quite a few years and have recently moved into sourcing new business and applying a lot of what I learned in the back office, which was problem solving and learning lender guidelines, what it is they're looking for, how to interface with escrow appraisers, the banks, whatever other lenders are out there, and then applying that now to originating loans. And what I'm finding is that by doing a proper analysis and interview up front, we can actually get ahead of a lot of the issues that typically pop up during the process and can either cause a denial or what we call a retrade, which is a lender coming back and changing the rates or terms or lowering your loan amount. So
that usually happens towards the end, doesn't it?
It does. It always got you, very got convenient.
The they got you with your pants down, your underwear around your ankles, and then they grab you by the balls.
Yeah, you've got your deposit to them. You know, you're in a 1031 exchange, maybe. You've got non-refundable with your seller. And, you know, and I don't think they do it on purpose. I think sometimes they're just not very thorough at the beginning. So I don't care for that. It's my personal goal to make it where we follow through with what we promised.
Well, that's awesome. I'm glad we kind of hit it that way and you kind of mentioned that. So what kind of upfront questions do you ask to try to avoid that, right? I mean, it's not really ultimately, it's not your decision at the very end, right? It still has to go through underwriting. It still has to go through committee with the lender and all that. But what kind of steps do you take to try to minimize that?
Yeah. So I have a pretty lengthy interview I do with my clients. I look very carefully at the financial statements. I look very carefully at the property itself in combing through the P&Ls, the rent roll, and I look at it with a very skeptical eye, and I'm looking for problems. I'm the safest person to discuss those issues with because I will only present to the bank what they need to know. So you can always disclose whatever you need to me, all the dirty secrets on the property. And I will make sure we frame it properly for the lender. But if we know that up front, we can typically find the lender who either won't ask those questions or even if they knew the answers, wouldn't care. That's much easier than trying to push a deal through a lender that is just too conservative for that request. And then you risk that turndown.
So hypothetical, right? Maybe you have an area that's kind of sketchy, right? Maybe it's between a C and a D area. There's been some crime in the past and there's a lot of police reports, right? So it's just good to know that up front because some lenders won't lend you there because they just think it's very risky, but some other lenders will, right? Is that a good assumption?
Yes. And I will typically Google the name of the property or the address of the property and just see what pops up, figuring, hey, any underwriter worth his salt is going to do the same thing, right? If there's been a murder, for example, you know, committed on the property, it'd be great to know that up front so that we can address whether that's a systemic issue, whether it's a management issue, it was a specific tenant, how long ago was it? Those sorts of questions will come up. And this is still, as much as commercial is about the numbers, there still is that human element to it. And if somebody has a bad feeling about a property, that you will see underwriters start reducing loan to values or doing other things to the deal that aren't necessarily in your favor. So it's important we frame things properly, and us presenting it can be much cleaner than them finding it and us trying to figure out how we can recover.
All right, Mike. So what would be your, I'm going to ask you a couple of questions, right? Okay. What would be your ideal client? Number one, right? That's number one. And then number two and number three, I'm gonna kind of go off the same thing. What would be a client that you just don't want? Like, man, you know, this is what I do. I really don't want, like, you know, just because I can't help you. Right. And so you have a client already that's perfect to fit today, like that can go in today, talk to today, and you can get them approved today. Right. That's your ideal client. Then you have a client that it's not that you really want them, but it just, I don't know, maybe it's the price point. I'm not sure. And then what kind of clients are you looking in the future, right? Like if somebody's at some certain point in their career, what kind of things can they do to become that ideal client? So basically, what can you do to become that ideal client? What don't you want in a client or a borrower, right? Like, and number three is, you know, what's your ideal client? Like for me, like I have a mastermind and there's just no assholes allowed, right? If you're an asshole, you're out, right? So if you're going to be a partner with me and you're an asshole, I'm sorry. If you're going to be an investor and you're an asshole, I'm sorry. It just doesn't work. So that's one of my rules, right? So I don't care how much money you got. Anyways, go ahead.
There you go. So I'll mix up the order here. So the ideal client is someone that is maybe has gotten financing on their own in the past, but they're looking to scale and they're looking to venture into areas that they haven't gone before, or into property sizes that they've maybe have been scared to enter into, and are looking to build a team that can help them do that. We were not made to go it alone. Obviously, you have a mastermind group. That's the basic tenet, right? You're relying on other folks. So somebody that is in the mode of, I need help and I need an advisor that I can trust that's going to guide me and help me, that is somebody that I would thoroughly enjoy working with. And typically when I will hear from folks, like especially people that are moving from residential real estate, buying single houses or four units and under, and they're making this kind of large step into commercial, multifamily or retail asset types. So as an, you know, stark opposite, somebody that I typically will work with, but it's not as enjoyable, is folks that don't trust and have somewhat of an adversarial relationship. They typically don't understand that I get paid based on, typically it's a percentage of the loan amount. So I am financially incentivized to get the largest loan I can. So to go into a transaction and have, you know, this is a 45 to 60 day relationship, to have that relationship where there's constant back and forth and maybe arguing or constant renegotiation, that tends to take our eyes off of the goal, which is obtaining the right financing for that client. So I argue with the lenders, I'll argue with appraisers, I'll argue with everyone else, but with my clients, we are on the same team and we're going after the same goal. And so there's just some people that don't understand that. Maybe they haven't learned it yet. So.
Okay. All right. So you didn't answer the question as far as who would you not work with, right?
That is somebody that if we went through that transaction and they, to the very end, held on to that, I probably would, if they called again, either have a come to Jesus meeting with them about the previous transaction, sure, how that went, or just decide to pass on it.
Yeah, because, you know, you do get paid for providing the service. So, you know, you got to make money, right? You don't do this for free.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I understand. Somebody wants to get a good price. You know, they don't want to pay as much points up front or whatever the fees are.
Well, and if we have a good interview up front, we can iron all that stuff out. So I make sure that I'm targeting or that our platform is targeting lenders that fit those needs.
For instance, if I bring you a project, hey, I need a loan for $50 million. Okay, great. I'm sure I have more negotiation on what percentage I'm going to pay. If I say, hey, I got a loan for $1.5 million. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's such a wide range, right? It's like, okay, well, you know, if I do have a point, I'm going to make $7,500, like, you know, whatever that number is, right? So, yeah. Or what is that? No, it's a lot. It's a lot less. What is it? What's 1% of $1 million? I don't even know. 10,000?
10 grand, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. So I was right. You know, so it's just like, it's, you know, it's at the same time, right? Perfect. So that's cool. That's good to know. I always say, people ask me all the time, well, how do you get a loan? Or they have this million questions, right? Like, what about this, and this? Or like, you know, do you call every single bank? I'm like, no, not really. I'm like, if I'm a certain price point and above, I just contact my lender, my broker, and I'll gladly pay them their fee because they'll go do all that work and they'll find me the best loan that fits my project. And it'll save me money than if I even try to go do it myself. Right. Yeah. Now, if it's a loan, like maybe my broker doesn't do a loan under $5 million, then I'll just go find that loan on my own from a local bank. It's a $2 million, $3 million loan. But if it's a large loan, I mean, either, you know, you gotta, you know, you can do it yourself, negotiate yourself, but what if you pay more interest, right? What if you could have negotiated the interest down, right? Or any kind of step down, any kind of prepayment penalties, all that stuff matters, you know? So forget exactly. forget about the cost up front, right? Think about the whole loan package.
You got to spend money to make money. And that being said, you know, you don't want to overspend, but if you take a loan that has an onerous prepay on it and your plan all along was to sell early, you're going to be paying a lot more in prepay than you would have had you paid someone else to go source the right structure for you. And that's where our platform has really shined, is finding some of these very small lenders in other parts of the country that do lend nationwide. I'm closing a food pod court here shortly.
Cool.
And I had no idea where to go for that loan. I mean, it was an obscure property type. They don't trade very often. Folks build them and hold them forever because they're cash cows. So I really wasn't sure where to go with that. So we put it up on the platform, and I was able to search for lenders that do mobile home parks, because that's essentially what you have here, and lenders that did retail.
Because you had containers and retail, right? The same time.
Exactly. Yeah. So I was able to search for those that do both, so because they would understand the concept. And I found numerous lenders on there that were interested in this project. So we were able to pick a loan for this investor, and it really wasn't even the rate that he was picked. It was the structure of the deal. So the rate was secondary in this case to some of the other items he was looking for.
Oh, that's super cool. And before we get to your platform, just a couple of the other questions that I know a lot of folks would probably have. You mentioned earlier, 45 to 60 days, right? So what's the time frame, right, to get a loan? So a lot of the times it depends on the seller, because they got to get you all your documents, right? Sometimes that can take 2 months. Like it's literally taken me 2 or 3 months just to get the documents to even start my loan process, right? So that's brutal. But let's just assume that we're buying it, you know, to one of these big brokers that they have all the documents already and everything's great. Make the LOI, they take the LOI. I got it. I got the DD documents. I got everything that you need. I give it to you today. Let's say it's a retail center, right?
Okay.
Just kind of give me the time frame, right? In like an average scenario.
I would say probably 45 to 60 is a very safe number if we have everything. If it starts to go, we start going long in the tooth in any of those areas, that's where I start to pull in either the listing agent or the selling agent and start having that conversation of, hey, you know, what kind of extensions should we be talking about? So if you can do that early, it makes it better than approaching the seller 2 weeks away from close saying, you know, hey, we need another 2 weeks. Remember 2 months ago when you forgot to get us your financials, we now need extra time. I'd rather have that conversation early.
That's great, because that's a great point you make. Because if you start connecting the broker and the selling broker, if there's a selling broker or the owner with your lender, they can assure, hey, we're on track. It's just, you know, we're just, you know, just taking a little bit extra time. And even if your contract's going to expire, usually they're not going to start all over again with somebody else, right?
Exactly.
They're going to want to stay with you. They want to close a project. So maybe you got to give a little more money. Hopefully you don't. You negotiate that when you don't, especially if it was on their end, and then you kind of move forward. Like right now, I don't make, unless it's a stupid deal where like I'm getting it super cheap, okay? Like all my contracts say my due diligence doesn't start until I have all my due diligence documents, right? And I have this, my list, right? Of like, I have a list of 20 items, right? But there's like 8 or whatever it is that I need. I know that's what my lender needs, right? And the rest I can get them later. And if I don't get them, I can figure that out. But these I need. So my due diligence doesn't start until I at least have these items right here. If it takes them a month, well, I got a free month. Like my money's not going hard. My due diligence hasn't started. If I said I was going to close in 70 days, I still got 70 days to close. And I've already done 2 or 3 weeks of inspections. I already know if I want it.
Yeah, you're working in the background there.
Oh, yeah. I already know if I want it. I mean, I've already given the stuff, you know, to the lender. He kind of has an idea too, right? Like he has an idea. He doesn't have the hard numbers, but he can at least, you know, has an idea what it looks like. So when I get him everything, he's ready to go. So that's the way I do it, right? So I don't have to go ask for an extension at the end, even though I still have it on my contract where I can ask for some additional time, because you get on the contract and then they poke their ass and they don't get you stuff, right? They just take their time. Like, man, my due diligence is coming to an end, right?
Yeah, they need their feet held to the fire as well.
Yeah.
And yeah, I've actually made quite a few clients out of sellers by getting involved and talking, you know, obviously with permission, talking with the agent, say, hey, I'll talk to the seller, you know, hook us up. I can explain where we are, what's going on in the process, you know, verify that the buyer's qualified and we've closed with this lender, and just whatever is needed to make him comfortable for that extension. I'm all about that.
Perfect. All right. So I got a couple more questions, then we're going to talk about your platform, and then we're going to go to the best part of the show. And I want to thank Michael because he waited for me. I changed the podcast time on him, and then I was still late, and he sat with my assistant until I showed up for the interview. So Michael, thank you so much. You're
no problem. I got some good emails out. So that's all good.
Oh, that's great. I really appreciate that, because I just like to be late. It's one of my pet peeves. So talk to me about we'll talk about the platform, we'll know the loans, but what kind of loans are you working with? Are you working on permanent debt loans, on bridge loans, a little bit of everything? But let's talk about permanent loans, right? Like say I bring you I bring you a retail center, it's worth $5 million. You know, it's 100% leased. Let's just say the market rents are at the market rents. There's no really any value to add. And you're buying it at a good cap because retail's a little bit on discount. Maybe you're buying it at 8 or 9 cap. What kind of terms would you be looking at? In a mid-sized city, maybe in a city that has 100,000 people, right? Like, what am I looking for, right? Am I like coming in with 35% down payment, 25%, 30%? Like, just kind of give me a ballpark.
Yeah, I think the going in expectation would be 35%, depending on the strength of the cash flow. And we could even dig into the demographics of the area a little bit. I would probably send it out at 30% down and see what kind of response I got. And then if I start getting a lot of no's, I would probably open it up to 65 and see if that brings those folks back in. But I don't think it would hurt. To me, 70% LTV is reasonable, especially if it has a good anchor to it. If you've got some sort of grocery national type anchor, to me, that's a very safe play, and those have proven to be fairly stable. Again, that's common sense talking, and we all know lenders don't necessarily operate in the realm of common sense. So, but yeah, I would say 65 to 70 would be very reasonable, depending on your exit, you know, 5, 7, or 10, it's a pretty flat yield curve right now. So the rates aren't going to be that much different. So that's where you really want to think about when will I want to sell or recapitalize the asset? And we can kind of set the term there. 30-year AM is becoming more and more common now among the more commercial real estate assets. So I would probably go out there and look for that as well.
Yeah, that's awesome. Perfect. So what is out there right now that you can say, hey, I got 20% to give on a commercial property? What's out there? Anything?
At 20% down?
Yep.
It would need to be in a fairly high cap rate market where the cash flow would justify 80% loan. But in the multifamily world, it's going to be the agency lenders, HUD if you really wanted that kind of pain in your life. You could go that direction. Agency, though, is going to be the best solution there, hands down. If you're looking at some of the other asset types, you know, 20% down is pretty hard to find. Unless, again, I mean, you can find, if there's a value add component to it, there are still private lenders out there that will do 80% loan to cost. So that's something we can structure and look at what the budget would be and what the stabilized cash flow would look like to see if that would make sense.
That's awesome. So I always tell everybody, hey, it's between 25 and 35%. Just calculate 30%, right? And if it's a multifamily, you only got to do 25%. Great. You know,
yeah, awesome. We'll get you more if we can.
Yeah. You know, so just kind of think about that. Awesome. Great. So let's talk about this platform, stackhouse.com.
Stacksource.
Sorry, not Stackhouse. I'm thinking about the basketball player.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I've done that too.
You know what? He played at Carolina, so I'm a Duke fan, so that's not a good thing. Anyways, so stacksource.com, it's refer.stacksource.com/coffee, C-O-F-F-E-E. That's the link, and it's here in the chat. So it'll be on the links below when we release the episode. So tell me about the platform.
Yeah, this is a platform I came across a little over a year ago. As I was looking to, I was at a small brokerage firm, local boutique shop, and I was out looking for equity that we could use for our clients, as that's becoming a more common funding mechanism. And I ran across StackSource and did some digging and was very impressed with what they were doing. So the basics are you can either email me a deal or go on yourself and enter the deal in. We're rolling out a new interface that will be much simpler. It's a little bit onerous now, but you can enter the deal in as little or as much information as you want. And what happens is myself or one of our other capital advisors will review what was submitted. We'll probably call you or email you with some questions, some clarifications, and then the system will match it up to the lenders that are in our capital provider database. And we have over 1,200 different programs in our database. And they have a lot of little data points that they look at, not just your typical who's got the lowest rate and what LTV is it. We're looking at, is this a local borrower? What markets does this lender lend in? Do you want recourse, non-recourse? You want like a mini perm, or are you looking for a rehab or long-term debt? We look at, I think the last time I checked, it was 35 different data points that we have entered in for most of our providers, and it matches them up. And then we will go in and send the whole package out once it's nice and polished and looking pretty the way we want it. Again, framing it properly for our capital providers, and it will go out, and they have the ability to go log into the platform, pull down all the documentation, and give us a term sheet. Those term sheets are then entered in on the platform, and you as the sponsor and even your selling agent, your broker, can look at those as well. And it does a very detailed analysis of each of those offers for you, so you can see which one makes the most sense. And, you know, we've just funded, I think we're just over $1 billion now in fundings through our platform. And it was very interesting. What we found was less than 50% of our clients chose the lowest rate that was being offered. And we were actually pretty stunned by that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it just depends, right? Because it's just, what's your exit strategy, right? Well, you know, you got to see what's the loan to value, what's the interest rate. If you got a step down, you got a prepayment penalty. I mean, if it's a 5 year, 7, 10 year, or is it 25, 30 year AM, right? There's a lot to go into it, right? So,
yep. And, you know, we look at certain, especially on a purchase transaction where you're in a 1031, certainty of close is very, very important, because if they're promising you a 3% rate, but they don't close, it didn't really do you any good. Yep. So, much better to pay a higher rate and make sure that it gets closed. And then again, like you said, it's got the structure that fits your scenario the best.
That's awesome. And you guys are doing permanent debt and also bridge debt Reg?
We do. Yeah, we do both. We do a lot of redevelopment and new development plays. We place equity as well.
Yeah, equity. Yeah. Private equity. You get some. Okay. Yeah. Awesome.
We have preferred equity or JV equity. We also are dabbling in the crowdfunding world a little bit. And then we also can help with PACE financing as well, if that happens to fit like a new development.
Yeah. And let me ask you this question. As far as price, like what range of loans are you guys doing? Or what issue are you looking for? Is there a minimum? Is there a maximum? Or what are you looking for?
We have our minimum is it's stated at $750 for a loan amount. We do have a minimum fee of $7,500. So that precludes a lot of the very small loans that come across. If you have one, I would say call me. Let's talk about it anyway. See if there's a way we can help you. I think everybody deserves the right financing for their property, regardless. So there might be
$750K.
Yeah. For minimum loan amount.
That's and pretty good.
The top end is, you know, the sky's the limit.
Yeah, for sure. Awesome. Michael, well, that's awesome. So stacksource.com. Okay. Yeah. That's the website. Also, I see you are on LinkedIn, and I am going to click on it right now. Let me see. Here we go. LinkedIn, Michael Coffey. All right. Awesome. Here I am. And I am clicking on the LinkedIn stuff here. Perfect. All right. Well, before I let you go, is there anything else you want to add? Because I'm going to bring up the favorite part of my show, which is a surprise. I don't know if you've listened to the show yet, but anything else before we switch over and we'll be done here in a couple of minutes.
Yeah, I think we covered it.
All right. Well, let me know when you see my screen.
See it?
Right. So I have this. It's called the Naked Truth Roulette. I'm going to ask you three random questions. Got nothing to do with real estate. Got nothing to do with what you do. I saw a wedding ring. Yes?
Yep.
Okay, you're married, so hopefully your wife won't listen to this show in case you get one of my special questions. All right, so here we go. Three random questions. Let me make this a little larger. Oh, there we go. Is that better?
Yeah.
All right, let's roll. Three random questions for Michael. Let's go. First question. What is the craziest thing you've ever snuck into a movie theater?
This is going to be boring, but I'm a rule follower, unfortunately. So I think it was a cheeseburger in my wife's purse.
Cheeseburger? Come on.
Yeah, I know.
That's pretty big. That's a big deal. Cheeseburger. All right. That's pretty good.
I'm not paying, you know, $12 for theirs.
For a cheeseburger, right? Which is heated in the microwave. Anyways. All right. Let's go. Next question. All right. Pineapple on pizza. What do you think?
Absolutely.
Oh, great. Okay. Awesome. I guess people just hate it. Some people love it.
It's the cilantro of pizza toppings. You either love it or hate it.
Awesome. That's cilantro. I never heard that before. That's awesome. All right. Last question. Okay. Oh, okay. What was the last show you binge watched?
That was a show called Psych.
Psych. Interesting.
It's just an absolute gem of a show. If you ever get a chance to watch it, was around for 8 seasons. It was on the USA Network. It's on Peacock as well right now. Yeah. Just absolutely fun.
Oh, for sure. Well, you didn't get any crazy roulette answers, so you got. You
thank you.
Made it through this round. Thank you so much for being a good sport and being part of the Naked Truth Roulette and surviving the Naked Truth Roulette. So Michael Coffey from stacksource.com, check out the portal. You guys need a loan, $750K. It's pretty cool because a lot of lenders out there won't do anything less than a few million bucks. So
exactly.
Michael, thank you so much for being on the show. I'm Javier, your host. Don't lose your shirt. Just as promised, I like to give out free stuff, some tools and tips that's actually helped me in my business. There's nothing out there like getting some free stuff that people have spent a lot of time, energy in putting together. It's like a referral. Somebody asked me for an electrician. You don't know what kind of brain damage I had to go through to give you this good referral for an electrician. You got to appreciate referrals from people, okay? Because they went through a lot to find that one good person. So I'm going to give you my due diligence template for buying apartment buildings. It's attached to monday.com. It is an affiliate link, so they're going to send me a kickback. Not a lot, but a little bit. But you can either download it as an Excel, or you can put it on monday.com. Monday.com is pretty cool because it's a project management platform software. It's super cool. I use it all the time for my social media, for my team, tracking deals, doing tasks. For everybody, it's actually pretty good. You can track construction. It's a project management platform. It's a really cool Monday, like the day, monday.com. So my due diligence checklist is there for free for you.
This has been The Naked Truth. Our mission is to give it to you raw. If you got value from this episode, you're invited to leave an honest written review and share this episode with a friend. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode.